Our Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus, we thank you for the privilege to fellowship on the written word and to fellowship with one another. And our Father, we ask that as we look into your word now, every eye is open to see, every ear is open to hear, we believe and receive the fullness of light, revelation, and insight in all of this house. We thank you, Father, we give you praise, for we know it's done, for in Jesus' name we've prayed. Amen. You can take your seat. Romans chapter 12, verse 11. Romans 12, verse 11. It says, not lagging in diligence, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. Now, we're looking at how to not backslide or how to backslide. Amen. Now, so far, we've seen what backsliding is, how it happens. We've seen examples of backsliding in Scripture, both in the Old Testament and in the New Testament. We've seen causes of backsliding. We've seen the indications of backsliding. How can we tell that someone has backslidden? My trust is clear that backsliding is not the loss of salvation. It is to become nonchalant, like a dicycle, and uninterested in the things of God. To lose your favor and commitment for God. Now that's backsliding. So today we'll begin a round off on this particular subject by seeing first of all the effects of backsliding. Okay, the effects of backsliding. What does backsliding do in the life of the believer and in the life of others? What are its consequences? So I want to find out. Now, number one here, backsliding makes you useless in the things of God. Okay, now Christians are meant to have a positive impact on their society and in the sphere of influence. We are supposed to shine as lights. Matthew 5 verse 14, it says, you are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden. Now do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. Verse 16, let your light so shine before men. Underline that, from let to men, that they may see your good works. Underline that, see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. Christians are supposed to light up the way for other men. When sinners see our lives, it should draw them to the Father. Philippians 2 verse 14. Philippians 2 14, it says, do all things without complaining and disputing, that you may become harmless and blameless children of God without fault in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, among whom you shine as lights in the world. Underline that, shine as lights in the world. Our light isn't meant to be concealed. Jesus also calls us the salt of the earth. Matthew 5 verse 13. It says, you are the salt of the earth, but if the salt loses its flavor, how shall it be seasoned? It is then good for nothing, but to be thrown out and trampled underfoot by men. Now this imagery is very important. Salt preserves. Now the earth is corrupt and growing worse day by day. The Bible is clear on this. This has been right from the days of Noah, Genesis 6 verse 11. Genesis 6 verse 11. The earth also was corrupt before God, underline that, corrupt before God, and the earth was filled with violence, underline that, filled with violence. So God looked upon the earth, and indeed it was corrupt, underline that, it was corrupt, for all flesh had corrupted their way on the earth. Now this continued into the days of David. Psalm 14 verse 1. David wrote this psalm. Psalm 14 verse 1. The fool has said in his heart, there is no God. They are corrupt. They have done abominable works. There is none who does good. Underline that. There is none who does good. The Lord looks down from heaven upon the children of men to see if there are any who understand or seek God. They have all turned aside. They have together become corrupt. Underline that. They have together become corrupt. There is none who does good, no, not one. Job also speaks of this condition of man. Job 15 verse 14. Job 15 verse 14. It says, what is man that he could be pure, and he who is born of a woman that he could be righteous? If God puts no trust in his saints, and the heavens are not pure in his sight, how much less man, who is abominable and filthy, underline that, from old to filthy, who drinks iniquity like water, underline that, from old to water. Paul also speaks of this moral and ethical corruption of the sons of men. Men follow after the lust of their hearts and live in sin. Ephesians 2:1. Ephesians 2:1, it says, and you made alive who were dead in trespasses and sins, in which you once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit who now walks in the sons of disobedience. Underline that. The sons of disobedience, among them also we all once conducted ourselves in the lust of our flesh. Underline that. The lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh. Underline that. The desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath. Underline that. Children of wrath, just as the others. Men live in the flesh and therefore cannot please God. Romans 8:8. It says, so then, those who are in the flesh cannot please God. In Titus 3, Paul speaks of the former conversation of sinners before salvation. Verse 3 of that same chapter, Titus 3, it says, for we ourselves were also once, underline once, that is in the past, foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving various lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful and hating one another. So the world is full of so much sin, and the world is tending into more and more degradation, more and more moral corruption. Now this corruption would only be thwarted by the presence of believers on the earth. So by calling us the salt of the earth, Jesus means that we will be responsible for preserving the world from moral decay, moral corruption. So we're on the earth to change it, basically, for the better. The early Christians changed the world. In the book of Acts, Christians are called those who turned the world upside down. Acts 17:6. It says, but when they did not find them, they dragged Jason and some brethren to the rulers of the city, crying out, these who have turned the world upside down have come here too. So they had changed the system of the old world. Their influence was undeniable. They filled Jerusalem with their doctrine. Acts 5:28. Saying, did we not strictly command you not to teach in this name? And look, you filled Jerusalem with your doctrine. Underline that. From you to doctrine, and to bring this man's blood on us. They were actively involved in missions and discipleship. Acts 4:1-2. Now as they spoke to the people, the priest, the captain of the temple, and the Sadducees came upon them, being greatly disturbed that they thought the people, underline that, they thought the people, and preached, underline preached, in Jesus the resurrection from the dead. Acts 5:42. And daily the temple, and in every house they did not cease teaching and preaching Jesus as the Christ. Underline from day to preaching. Acts 8:4. Therefore, those who were scattered went everywhere preaching the word. Underline from when to word. Then Philip went down to the city of Samaria and preached Christ to them. Underline that, preached Christ to them. Verse 35 of that same chapter. Then Philip opened his mouth and beginning at this scripture, preached Jesus to him. Underline that, preached Jesus to him. That is the Ethiopian eunuch. He also performed miracles and healed the sick. Acts chapter 2 records that many signs and wonders were done through the apostles. Verse 43 of that same chapter. Then fear came upon every soul, and many signs and wonders were done through the apostles. Acts 5:12 records similarly. It says, and through the hands of the apostles, underline that, through the hands of the apostles, many signs and wonders were done among the people, and they were all with one accord in Solomon's porch. In Acts chapter 3, Peter heals the lame man at the beautiful gate. Acts 3:1-8. Now Peter and John went together to the temple at the hour of prayer, the 9th hour, and a certain man lame from his mother's womb was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms from those who entered the temple. All Saint Peter and John, about to go into the temple, asked for alms, and fixing his eyes on him with John, Peter said, look at us. So he gave them his attention, expecting to receive something from them. Then Peter said, silver and gold I do not have, but what I do have I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And he took him by the right hand and lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. So he, leaping up, stood up and walked, and entered the temple with them, walking, leaping, and praising God. Acts chapter 6 records how Stephen was full of grace and power, doing great signs. Acts 6 verse 8, it says, "And Stephen, full of faith," the Greek says grace, "and power, did great wonders and signs among the people." In Acts 8, Philip performs miracles and signs at Samaria. Verse 13 of that same chapter, Acts 8, "Then Simon himself also believed, and when he was baptized, he continued with Philip, and was amazed, seeing the miracles and signs which were done." Underline from seeing to done. Acts chapter 14 records that signs and wonders were done through their hands. Verse 3 of that same chapter, Acts 14, "Therefore they stayed there a long time, speaking boldly in the Lord, who was bearing witness to the word of his grace, granting signs and wonders." Underline that. Granting signs and wonders to be done by their hands. So the early Christians shook their world for Christ. They were a blessing. Okay, but a backslidden Christian can't do any of this. He doesn't influence his fellow positively. He blesses no one. Instead, he's a menace, both to the church and to society. Jesus describes such a one as salt which has lost his taste. Matthew 5 verse 13. Okay, Matthew 5 verse 13. "You are the salt of the earth, but if the salt loses its flavor," underline that, loses its flavor, "how shall it be seasoned? It is then good for nothing," underline that, good for nothing, "but to be thrown out and trampled underfoot by men." Now, in ancient times, salt that became insipid, that is insipid, could no longer be used in cooking. Okay, it was only good for filling pavements and pathways like we use gravel today. So it loses its benefits. In verse 15 of that same chapter, Jesus describes such a one as a lamb put under a basket. Okay, verse 15. "Now did they lay the lamb and put it under a basket," underline that, "put it under a basket, but on a lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house." So simply put, is useless, good for nothing. You know, you don't lay the lamb and hide it, right? It should be put on a lampstand to benefit the entire house. But the Christian who is backslidden is like a lamb hidden under a basket, so he's helping no one. Do you follow that? He's beneficial to no one. Now, a similar term is used in Revelation chapter 3 for the church at Laodicea. Lukewarm. Revelation 3 verse 15. Revelation 3 verse 15. "I know your works, that you're neither cold nor hot. I could wish that you were cold or hot. So then, because you're lukewarm," underline that, lukewarm, "and neither cold nor hot, I will vomit you out of my mouth." Now, a lukewarm Christian is one who is completely useless in the things of God. You may get our article, Letter to the Lukewarm Church, for more on this. So, backsliding affects our usefulness in the kingdom of God. We won't be beneficial, neither to God, the church, or the world. Now, number two here. Our backsliding will have a ripple effect. Okay? It will cause others to backslide also, especially young Christians. Usually, men are a product of influence. Good company will have good influence. Proverbs chapter 27, verse 17 says, "As iron sharpens iron, so a man sharpens the countenance of his friend." That is, good company will make you better. Now, on the other end, bad company would affect you negatively. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 33. "Do not be deceived. Evil company corrupts good habits." You see that? Now, God has fashioned Christianity in such a manner that we influence each other. Okay? Either for good or for bad. When we gather together, we see what others are doing and we emulate. That is the Christian faith. Hebrews 10, verse 24. Hebrews 10 verse 24. "And let us consider one another, in order to stir up love and good works," underline that, "stir up love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together," underline from now to together, "as is the manner of some, but exalting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching." Now, how do we stir up love and good works? We do so by assembling together, verse 25. We teach each other by example. Paul tells the Corinthians that their zeal had stirred up the majority. Okay, 2 Corinthians 9 verse 2. 2 Corinthians 9 verse 2. "For I know your willingness, about which I boast of you to the Macedonians, that Achaia was ready a year ago, and your zeal has stirred up the majority," or provoked, stimulated, influenced the majority. That is, they have inspired other churches to give as well. by how well they gave. So others saw what they did and followed suit. So that is how Christianity works. We follow, copy, emulate what others do. We see and copy. Do you follow that? Okay. Now this can also happen negatively. A Christian, especially a young Christian, can think that it is okay to backslide if he sees another Christian doing so. Remember, in Christianity, we see and copy. Now, when Ammianus and Philetus started preaching heresies, they also led some astray. 2 Timothy 2 verse 17 to 18. 2 Timothy 2 17 to 18. And their message was spread like cancer. Ammianus and Philetus are of this sort, who have strayed concerning the faith, saying that the resurrection is already past, and they overthrow the faith of some. Underline that. They overthrow the faith of some. So their false doctrine had a negative impact on the confidence of this some. So a backsliding Christian must be careful. He should know that his fall would have a ripple effect and affect others also. Okay, so when they see that he has stopped praying, coming to church, he now drinks, smokes, okay, and so on and so forth, they will think that it is okay to do so. And the latter is worse than the first. Now, it's even worse if he's an elder in church, someone that others look up to. Now, if such a one suddenly backslide, it completely shatters the faith of young believers who look up to him. So we must be careful, okay? Now, number three here. Backsliding brings dishonor to God. Okay? Backsliding gives unbelievers the opportunity to mock God and to mock the Christian faith. So they begin to say things like, I thought you were a Christian. Look at your life now. Right? Now, Old Testament Israel was like this. Because of their consistent, constant disobedience, the Gentiles mocked God. So they gave the nations a reason to ridicule Yahweh's holy name. Old Testament Israel. You may see Ezekiel 36, 22 to 23 for that. David's sin with Bathsheba gave the Ethan occasion to blaspheme. 2 Samuel 12, verse 9. 2 Samuel 12, verse 9. Why have you despised the commandment of the Lord to do evil in his sight? You have killed Uriah the Hittite with a sword. You have taken his wife to be your own wife and have killed him with the sword of the people of Ammon. Now therefore the sword shall never depart from your house because you have despised me and have taken the wife of Uriah the Hittite to be your wife. Verse 14 of that same chapter. However, because by this deed, now look at this, you have given great occasion to the enemies of the Lord to blaspheme. Underline that, from you to blaspheme. The child also who is born to you shall surely die. That is, when they hear what David did, they would mock and deride his God. Okay, so they will say things like, David claims to be worshipping Yahweh, a just God. Now where is the justice? Look at what he has done. You follow that? So it gives sinners an occasion to mock God. Now we are to be witnesses of God on the earth. God tells Old Testament Israel, you are my witnesses. Isaiah 43, 10 to 12. It says that to you also as the new Israel of God. Galatians 6, verse 16. Now, if our lives are wayward, we will be bad testimonies of God to the world. So, backsliding affects us, first of all. It makes us unfruitful in the things of God. It affects our fellow Christian brothers. It makes them retrogress in their faith, backslide in their faith, and it also affects the world. It makes them unwilling to draw near to God, okay? So we've seen what backsliding means, how it happens, and what it does. Now, I'm sure by now you know where you stand, right? If you've backslidden in some area, you can probably tell by now. Okay, now if that is you, pay attention now. You know that you've backslidden. Now, there is still hope for you. God's word to the backslidden is return. Okay? Jeremiah 3 verse 22. Jeremiah 3 verse 22 says, return you backsliding children. Underline return. And I will heal your backslidings. So, are you backslidden? You've lost your favor, your commitment for the things of God. And you want to get back on fire for God. Now, let's see how to do so. So, a new subheading for you here as we begin to close. How to recover from spiritual lethargy. Okay, that is L-E-T-H-A-R-G-Y. Okay, spiritual lethargy. Now, number one, repentance. Hallelujah. Now, repentance simply means to change one's mind. Metanoia in the Greek, M-E-T-A-N-O-I-A. Now, this word repentance is used in two different contexts in the New Testament portion of Scripture. Now, first of all, it is used for the unbeliever, changing his mind towards faith in Christ. Now, John the Baptizer used this word in this context, Matthew 3:1-2. It says, in those days, John the Baptist came preaching in the wilderness of Judea and saying, repent, underline that repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Jesus the Christ used it also, Mark 1:14-15. Mark 1:14-15. It says, now after John was put in prison, Jesus came to Galilee preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God and saying, the time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent, underline that, repent, and believe in the gospel. So did Peter on the day of Pentecost. Acts 2:38. Then Peter said to them, repent, underline that, repent, and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. So for the unbeliever, repentance is simply to put faith in Christ. Do you follow that? In order to receive the remission of sins. Now, repentance is also used for the believer. You follow that? So first of all, for the unbeliever, putting faith in the gospel. Now, also for the believer, feeling remorse. Okay? The believer feeling remorseful for his wrong deeds and actions. Now, this is not salvation. Okay? But a sense of contrition. That is, I know what I've done is wrong and I'm sorry. You follow that? That is repentance for the Christian. In 2 Corinthians chapter 7, Paul tells the Corinthians that he was happy, that they were sorry for their wrong deeds. Now, he uses the word repentance here also. Verse 9 of that same chapter, it says, now I rejoice not that you were made sorry, but that your sorrow led to repentance. Underline that. Your sorrow led to repentance, for you were made sorry in a godly manner. Underline that. From you to manner. He's speaking to Christians. That you might suffer loss from us in nothing. Jesus tells the backsliding churches in Revelation to repent. He tells the church at Ephesus, Revelation 2:5. He says, remember therefore from where you've fallen, repent and do the first works. You see that? Repent and do the first works. Underline that, okay? Or else I will come to you quickly and remove your lampstand from its place unless you repent. He tells the church at Pergamos, Revelation 2:16. It says, repent. Or else I will come to you quickly and fight against them with the sword of my mouth. It tells the church at Laodicea, Revelation 3:19. It says, as many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Therefore, be zealous and repent. Underline that, repent. So both unbelievers and believers can repent. Do you see that? Depending on what context you mean. For the Christian man, repentance is acknowledging his fault and changing. Okay, so the backslider should repent. What does that mean? He should know that what he has done is wrong and should seek to be better. Now that is the first step. Remember, it all begins in the mind. So do you really want to change? That is the first step. Repent. Hallelujah. Say repent. Okay, now number two, seek for fervent believers to help you. Now if you're backsliding and seeking to recover, you need accountability. Okay, usually hard Christians will set others ablaze. If you're backsliding in the faith, look out for those who will help you get back on fire. Seek godly company. Look at how David says this in Psalm 141:5. Interesting text of scripture. Psalm 141:5. It says, let the righteous strike me, it shall be a kindness. Come on. And let him rebuke me, it shall be as excellent oil, let my head not refuse it. So the rebuke of the righteous is good, you see that? So find such ones to help you. There is rebuke that will leave you better, okay? Proverbs 27:5. It says, open rebuke is better than love carefully concealed. Faithful are the wounds of a friend, but the kisses of an enemy are deceitful. So, draw close to someone whom you can be accountable to. Do you follow that? There are always believers who can restore those who are fallen. Paul calls such ones spiritual in Galatians chapter 6. Let's see that quickly. Galatians 6:1-2. Are you following this so far? Alright, thank you. Galatians 6:1-2. It says, brethren, if a man is overtaken in any trespass, You all are spiritual. Underline that. You all are spiritual. Okay, restore such a one in a spirit of gentleness. You can say, you all are fervent. Okay, you are on fire for the Lord. Restore such a one in a spirit of gentleness, considering yourselves, lest you also be tempted. Bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. Such Christians are usually matured in the faith. Elders, right? The writer of Hebrews says of elders that they watch out for your souls. Hebrews 13 verse 17. Hebrews 13 verse 17. It says, obey those who rule over you and be submissive, for they watch out for your souls. Underline that. They watch out for your souls as those who must give account. Let them do so with joy and not with grief, for that will be unprofitable for you. So seek help from such ones. Okay? You can tell them that I'm no longer fervent as I used to be. Please tell me what I must do to be fervent again. Now don't seek help from another backslidden Christian. You follow that? That's shooting yourself on the foot. Cold cannot help cold. So it is fervent believers who will put you back on the right path. Now for the one helping a backslidden Christian, remember, don't see him as an enemy or ridicule him. 2 Thessalonians 3 verse 15. Look at how Paul says that there. 2 Thessalonians 3 verse 15. It says, yet do not count him as an enemy, but admonish him as a brother. Do you see that? So we are to admonish erring Christians as brothers. Now, this doesn't mean that you treat his backsliding lightly, but be kind towards him and seek his betterment in the faith. Okay, let him know what causes people to backslide. Okay, I think you already know what those things are from this teaching, right? Okay, and also how he can avoid them. So is to do the opposite of those things which cause men to backslide. Now also pray for such a one. You know, Jesus prayed for Peter. And that is why his fall was in total. Luke chapter 22 verse 31. Luke 22 verse 31. And the Lord said, Simon, Simon, indeed Satan has asked for you that he might shift you as wheat, but I have prayed for you. Hallelujah. Underline that, I have prayed for you that your faith should not fail, and when you've returned to me, strengthen your brethren. Now number three here, be given to spiritual exercise. Now, God has given us tools as Christians to ensure that we are always on fire for Him. Okay? There are tools in Christianity that ensure that we always stay on fire for the Lord. Now, these tools include, number one, prayer. Hallelujah. Prayer. Prayer is the fuel of the Christian faith. It is what keeps us going in our service to the Lord. Romans chapter 12, 11 and 12, as we close. It says, not lagging in diligence, fervent in spirit, underline that, from not to spirit, serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation. Now, how would all of this happen? By continuing steadfastly in prayer. Do you see that? Underline that, continuing steadfastly in prayer. The word fervent used in verse 11 translates the Greek zeo, Z-E-O, the last O accentuated. It means to boil, to be hot. It means to show great zeal, to be ardently passionate, literally to boil with interest or desire. Now, how do we ensure that we are always boiling with a desire for the Lord? It is by prayer. Do you follow that? Prayer. Prayer ensures that the Christian man is always being built up. Jude 1 verse 20, it says, but you, beloved, building yourselves up on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit. 1 Corinthians 14 verse 4, he who speaks in a tongue edifies himself. Therefore, the way out of spiritual lethargy is to be given to prayer. Now, number two here, the written word, or feeding on the written word. God's word is what gives birth to us as Christians. James 1 verse 18, it says, of his own will, he brought us forth by the word of truth. Do you see that? On the line from here, the truth, that we might be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. We believe on the word, the gospel, and we are created anew. 1 Peter 1 verse 23, it says, having been born again, not of corruptible seed, but incorruptible through the word of God. Underline that, through the word of God, which lives and abides forever, because all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man as the flower of the grass. The grass withers, and its flower falls away, but the word of the Lord endures forever. Now, this is the word which by the gospel, underline that, by the gospel, was preached to you. Now, not only are we born of the word, we are also grown by the same. 1 Peter 2:2, as we close. 1 Peter 2:2, it says, as newborn babes, desire the pure milk of the word, that you may grow thereby. Underline that. That you may grow thereby. God's word is likened to food which sustains his people. Jeremiah 15:16. Your words were found, and I ate them. Underline that. And your word was to me the joy and rejoicing of my heart, for I am called by your name, O Lord God of hosts. Therefore, the backslidden Christian should feed on the same. He should read his Bible daily. Okay? The backslidden Christian. He should meditate on what he reads. Psalm 1:1-2 says, blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. Underline that. In his law he meditates day and night. To meditate literally means to chew upon in the Hebrew. To ruminate. Okay, on what you've read in the word. So you bring it to mind. That is meditation throughout the day. Okay, as you carry out your activities and you think upon it. Okay, not only that, you should also memorize what you read. Okay, also you could hear good sermons, a backslidden Christian, and read good books which explain the Bible to him. Now, number 3, the local gathering of the saints, in bracket, the church. Now, as mentioned earlier, the importance of influence cannot be overemphasized. In Christianity, our mannerisms rub off on each other as we gather together. God has made it so. Do you follow that? So, the backslidden Christian should find an assembly of fervent believers and become a part of them. Our fervency to the Lord is tied to Christian meetings. How many of you believe that? It is tied to Christian meetings. Hebrews 10:24, we heard earlier on, and let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works, and learn from stir the works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. You see that even from the Old Testament, the gathering of God's people came with spiritual benefits, even in the Old Testament. Now, the Old Testament Jews met in the temple in Jerusalem. You may see Psalm 132:13 and Psalm 122:1-2 for that. Now, Psalm 73 records quite an interesting event. Now, it records how that Asaph, okay, that is the psalmist there, was agitated at how the wicked seemed to be prospering. Okay, he became envious of them. But it wasn't until he got into the Lord's house, the sanctuary of the Lord, verse 17 of that same chapter, that he got understanding. Do you follow that? So he was jealous of the wicked, then he went to church, basically. Okay, then in church, he got understanding, the Lord's sanctuary, that the wicked's end is nothing to be desired. Okay, they will perish. Verse 27 says that. Now, this was revealed to him in the gathering of God's people. Do you follow that? So it was backsliding. Do you get it? Then he comes into the temple and he gets understanding. Hallelujah. Okay, he then began to value his relationship with God better. You may see verses 21 to 26 and verse 28 of that same chapter for that. So the physical gathering with other children of God helps to tame any wild ideas in your heart. Do you follow that? That might lead to you backsliding. Usually, before a Christian starts to backslide or starts to believe strange doctrines, he is found outside the safety of a local assembly. Usually. Okay? For most of them, they stop attending church. Most of them begin to listen to YouTube theologians and begin reading strange books. Now, be mindful of this. Is that understood? Okay? Be mindful of this. Stay within a local body of saints. There is safety within the local community of believers. Hallelujah. Okay? Now, number 4 here, as we close. Let your repentance produce fruits. Okay? Let your repentance produce fruits. Now, having committed yourself to the Lord again, let it be obvious. Okay? You say you've repented. Let's see it. All right? True repentance produces results. John tells the Jews in Luke 3, bear fruit worthy of repentance. Verse 8 of that same chapter, that is, let your repentance show forth in your actions. In Acts 26, Paul explains how that he preached to men that they should repent, turn to God, and do works befitting repentance. Underline that. Do works befitting repentance. Verse 20 of that same chapter. So, if you're truly sorry for backsliding, it will show. What is the evidence? The evidence is a changed life. So, actually change. Is that understood? Actually change. Desire to get better and actually carry out that desire. Hallelujah. Okay, so we end here. I trust you learned. Okay, and I pray that each one of us would remain fervent in our commitment to the Lord in Jesus' name. Backsliding is far from us in Jesus' name. Amen. Lift your hands, give him praise. Thank him.